The other day you said to me you would help me in any way you could, unofficially.
Yes, I did.
I'd like to know a bit more about Thibaut Kerjean, as you know. The circumstances surrounding his arrest, exactly why investigating officers at the time thought he was their man.
You were here.
Uniquely placed to see it all firsthand. I'd appreciate your insights.
For the first time, Gauguin seemed uneasy. He glanced up the road and then down toward the harbour.
Not here. I don't really want to be seen talking to you, Monsieur MacLeod. You can bet there are eyes on us right now.
Where then?
I'll meet you tomorrow, 2 o'clock at the Fort de Grognon. Do you know where that is?
I saw it signposted this afternoon when I was driving out to Pontmort.
You'll find it on any of the tourist maps. We're not likely to be disturbed there. And it's a place with an important bearing on the telling of the story.
His breath billowed around his head like smoke in the light of the street lamps. He flexed frozen cheeks to bare his teeth in a grin.
It's an interesting tale.
Lights fell out from the house across the dirt track leading along the coast to Les Grands Sables, and the gate squeaked on its hinges as Enzo pushed it open. He felt obliged to call in to say good night before heading across the lawn to the cold of the annex. As he closed the gate again, he turned and looked out across the strait toward the mainland. An almost full moon hung low in a clear black sky, reflecting in coruscating shards across the silvered surface of the ocean. The coastline between Lorient and Vannes was delineated by a line of lights like tiny glowing beads on a taut thread stretched along the horizon.
"Admiring the view?"
He turned, surprised, to see Jane Killian standing in the open doorway, light tumbling out around her and into the garden. He hadn't heard her open the door.
"That's a stunning night."
"In the summer, on a night like this, you can light a fire on the beach and sit out with a bottle of wine, talking into the small hours. You can even go in bathing if you feel like it. We get the full benefit of the Gulf Stream here. The water's always warm."
"Not right now, I'll bet,"
she laughed.
"No." Then her smile faded. "I was expecting you back earlier. I prepared a meal. But I guess you've probably eaten by now."
"Oh."
Enzo felt suddenly guilty, and at the same time, annoyed. He didn't want to feel obliged to spend his evenings with her. He wasn't a house guest, after all. But perhaps he should have called to say he was eating in town.
"I'm sorry. I didn't realize."
"It's okay. It was a casserole. It'll keep till tomorrow."
Which trapped him into eating with her then. Enzo succumbed to a sudden sense of claustrophobia. For all that the Ile de Groix was a flat stretch of rock set in the open sea, he felt cornered by its insularity, by his ability to escape it only when the ferry timetable allowed, and by the social obligations to his hostess that it seemed were impossible to avoid.
"Come in and have a drink," she said,
and he didn't see how he could politely refuse. They went into the house and she poured him a large whiskey, and refilled a glass sitting on a small table beside her chair. Enzo wondered how many times she'd filled it already this evening. It was clear that she had been drinking. She was not drunk, or even mellow in the way that a few whiskies can sometimes affect you, but she held herself stiffly, with a kind of brittle self-control. She sat down, her legs folded up beneath her on the chair, and turned a penetrating gaze in Enzo's direction.
"You'd think," she said, "that after 20 years you'd get used to being lonely."